Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast, raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Throughout this month, we're going to be looking at finding your place. But today's topic is there's a gap with your name on it. Can we open to the book of Mark chapter 35? I really hope you have something to write with today in church, because you will write a lot today. Mark chapter 9. I said verse 35, but I will read from verse 33. It says, "Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?' But they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, 'If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all, and what?
Servant.
And servant of all.'" Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9:19. It says, "For though I be free from all men, I have made myself a servant to who? To all, that I might win the more." Can we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 8 to 9? Please write it down. You know, I don't open a lot of scriptures normally, so the fact I'm opening a lot of scriptures today is a very serious matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 8 to 9 says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning you what manner of what? Of entering we had in you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true what? God." What's the common theme in all these verses I've read? Serve, right? Serve, service, servant. Every Christian is called to be a servant. It's our first calling. It's our first calling. As soon as we become children of God, we are called into the service of God. And so when we say finding your place, I'm not here to preach to you about finding your career path or how you are going to blow. I've come to preach to you or speak to you about finding your place in God. And you can only find your place in God through what? Service. There's no shortcut. So if I want to put it in another way, Christianity is not a spectatorship. A what? Spectatorship. What's a spectator? So those that go to watch sports, right? If you go and watch football or basketball or anything, or even when you're watching from the house, you are not on the field, right? You are just there in the crowd. And if your team is playing and they score a goal, you shout what? Go. And if they score against your team, you start to abuse the other team. That's who is a spectator, right? The person is not part of the game. No, every single time, I follow football a lot, so every single time the team I like loses a game and you go online, you see so many people online trying to coach the coach. They'll start saying, "You should have substituted this player so and so minutes." Some people will be so angry. They'll say, "We don't want this player again. Sell him." As if they are the ones that own the money and they are going to use to sell or buy the player. In that, you have no stake in the issue, right? And you have no control. That's a spectator. There is no spectator in the body of Christ. Doesn't exist. We all have a part to play. You know, in this, the word that came out today, what our daddy said to us and what mommy said about worship, about listening to God and not listening to anybody else. Not everybody has the privilege of having right mentorship or right parenting when it comes to the Christian faith. That does not necessarily mean that your parents are bad people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not here to accuse them. But they lived within the confines of what they knew as people. And now, they have passed your age, at least more than half of your age, right? And now you are growing, and in a couple of years, you are going to become their age one day. You don't have to make the mistakes that they made. You don't have to make the choices that they made, particularly when it comes to interaction with God. If your father or your mother is not a serious Christian, that doesn't mean that they have the right to dock you at home on a Sunday morning. They are wrong. They are what? They are wrong. If your mother and your father, all they know is business and life, and they go to church on Sunday, but they are not workers. They don't put their money or their resources or their time or their effort into the things of God. They don't have the right to teach you to do the same. They are wrong. They are what? Wrong. That is not their purview of expertise. Does that make them bad people? No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you listen to them on the issues of your life when it relates to God and your service of God, you might end up worse than them. So this year, you have to kind of wake up and make a choice about how you want to relate with God. Are we together? That is not influenced by anything external, even the people that you claim to respect. Because they are not experts. No human being is the expert. This is the expert here. It's what the word of God says. And so that's who you should listen to. And so when you hear words come out today and say, don't listen to your father, don't listen to your brother, don't listen to your mother, don't listen to your... It's the truth. Because they are not experts. On this thing, they don't know what they are saying. You have to take your cue when it comes to the service of God from the word of God. And so, because Christianity is not a spectatorship, the church, and when I say the church now, I mean the local assembly, this place that you're in, the four corners that you come to on Sunday to say you want to come and communally worship God, is your primary opportunity that you have to serve him. Amen? You see how I said opportunity? You are not doing your pastor a favor. By being anything in church. You are not doing him what? A favor. You should thank him and thank God for his life. Even if you're not in this church, I'll tell you, I know I'm your pastor, so it looks like I'm talking about myself. No, if I was not around, this is your pastor, that's your pastor, there are other pastors. You should be thanking God for their lives, that a place is set up, that you have the opportunity to answer your calling, your first calling as a Christian. Because if you don't serve God, you serve Satan. And so, when I say serve, it's an active thing. It's not just, oh, I've given my life to Jesus. No. There's an active thing you must do, because there are people who have given their lives to Jesus and they are still not serving God, but they are serving Satan. And yet, they are saved. One day they said, God, forgive me all my sins. And what? They repented. But you see, the thing is, today, a lot of people are in churches listening to messages that are kind of good, right? Some are listening to messages that are very bad. But the reason why we don't really see transformation in the life of young people is because they are in wrong churches. What do I mean by wrong churches? A wrong church is a church that is not about preaching something that you recognize as bad. Their doctrine is very similar to our own. Amen? What's the difference? One primary difference between a wrong church and a true church is that a true church would always, at different points, say something that will push you to repentance. That push you to what? To repentance. Because repentance does not end when you say, God, forgive me, I give my life to Jesus. Repentance happens throughout your Christian life. There would always be things to repent of. Because to repent means to change your mind, to feel remorse and to change your mind about something. So I was going in this direction, and I said, no, I'm not supposed to be going in this direction. Let me turn around. Let me go in the opposite direction. That is what? Repentance. And a true church would always preach something, often, that gives the believer something to what? To repent of. And so, if you are not hearing something to repent of, and some people, they spend the whole of last year listening to messages that pump them up and make them feel good, and not once did they hear something that made them feel like something in my life has to change. And if you don't hear such a thing, then you're not in a church of God. Have you read those letters? Have you seen Paul when he's blasting them? Does he mince words with them? No. Because there's always something to what? To repent of. And so, there's repentance in this our teaching. Today, next week Sunday, Upper Sunday, as we are fasting, we have to change some things. You might say, oh, I'm already a worker in church, so this one does not concern me. No, it concerns you. Amen? It concerns you. It does. Are we together? Okay. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12:28 so I can show you something. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. The Bible says, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Then he goes on and starts to ask some questions. I'm not here to teach fully about the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. That's not my focus today. My focus today is this word here. Helps. And this is where I'm going to build most of my case for the next 3 weeks. But I need to explain a bit what this means. When it says in the church, it's talking about the local assembly. That's this church. And or any other true church of God. And it says that for a church to really be an expression of God's will, or to be a true church, it has to have three things that are ranked. The rest of the things are not ranked, right? It says first, second, and what? Third. Then it starts to make a list. It didn't say fourth. Did it say fourth? Did it say fifth? No. So those three are key. For a true church to exist, it's not just about opening a branch. Eh? It's not what denomination has brought to Christianity. That if a church is somewhere and they want another branch somewhere, they'll borrow that branch, a few of their members here, right? So let's say we have plenty here, or another branch also says, okay, let's borrow them. You know, borrow them half of the choir, borrow them half of the instrumentalists, borrow them just that, then borrow them a pastor. That's what happens, right? You might not be able to understand the context of this because in Nigeria now, churches spread, right? But in the original plan of God, for a church to truly be established, it needs apostolic touch. It needs prophetic touch. It needs what? Teachers. What's the apostles' church? To break the ground where the church will be and to exercise governance over what? Over that church. So all the leaders in that church are all under what? Authority. What's the job of the prophet? To give the direction of that church. Why does this church exist? Not just prophetic word for the people's lives. In fact, the prophetic word for the people's lives is dependent on what? The nature of the church in the spirit. What that church is. And everyone who is in that church or leading in that church must know the kind of church they are in. And that's the job of the prophets. And so when this church started, God said some things by prophetic direction. Until tomorrow is still coming to pass. He says this place is a what? It's a barrack. That's one of the things he said. That he wants to raise and train leaders in this place. Right? He said this place is a place of what? Deliverance and prosperity and direction. He said so many things that we wrote down in the beginning stages. Those things are true. It's essentially, those are the reasons why this church what? Was born. That's the direction. That's the nature of this local assembly. And every local assembly has its own nature. Has the things that God wants to accomplish through it in the locality that it was planted. It's not just to gather and to sing and to clap and go home. Amen? Then the job of the teachers is the doctrine of that place. What is being taught there? Because doctrine is important. And it is when those three things are in place that you can say that the church can what? Can function with the different things. And so there are many churches that are just direction what? Directionless. And that's why you come to find out that in some places, when one pastor might be good, and then they transfer him, maybe they carry him and post him somewhere else, and they bring somebody else that starts teaching something entirely different from what the other pastor taught. Why? Because there's no doctrinal direction for that assembly. Everybody is just doing what they understand in the Bible. Right? Everybody's coming to preach their opinion. This is how I see it. And then one pastor will come and say, oh, this is a miracle center. Then that one, they will post him. Then when they post him, he says, okay, it's not a miracle center anymore. It is now a what? A different direction. Oh, this is a church of faith. Then 2 years, 3 years later, that one leaves. Oh, no, this is a church of deliverance. So it's based on just, you know, what each person feels. No. Because there's no direction. What God has said about any assembly that is truly is, let four people be taken out and let everybody in that place be packed away and leave. Let new people come. What he wants to do there is still what he will what? What he will do. And it is when you have that kind of oversight in a church that this thing I want to talk about today has meaning. Helps. Helps. Because every Christian has been called to what? To helps. Every Christian, everyone, as soon as you give your life to Jesus, you are a helper. Say it to yourself, I'm a helper. The Greek word means antilepsis. It means to provide relief or succor. To render a service, to be a partaker. That's what it means to what? To help. What does this mean? It means that every single one of us has something that God wants to use. He wants to what? Use it. So it doesn't matter. These children that are sitting down here, there's something that God wants to use them for. Do you believe? Or you don't believe they are already helping as they are? They are. They are. When you look at all the gifts, there are the special gifts in the Bible. You see that one of the gifts there is the gift of what? Of mercy. There's another gift that essentially means exhortation. Other versions will say gift of encouragement. You think when I see these children, I'm not encouraged? I'm being serious. They are what? They're helping. Even as they are. And as they grow in understanding and as they get older, they will understand what it means to actually what? Be a true helper. So a helper is not a volunteer, right? You are not a volunteer. Can you say I'm not a volunteer? It's servanthood. It's a ministry. So what are the differences between a servant and a volunteer? I'll give you about three. A servant is at the master's beck and call, right? If there's a servant and there's a master, if the master tells him to wake up by 4:30, what's going to happen? You wake up by 4:30. He says you're not sleeping this night, you're doing this, that, and that. What will happen? We are not sleeping this night, sorry. And so we are serving Jesus. That's the relationship when it comes to helps. Amen? A volunteer can quit anytime. Right? A volunteer can quit. A servant does not get to what? Does not get to quit. A servant knows that his reward is in heaven, right? Because he ultimately knows who he's serving. True or false? A servant knows who he's serving. A servant, even in a local assembly, knows that he's not serving the pastor. It's not Pastor Billy you are serving. Eh? Because I'm not paying you salary. So, a servant knows where his reward is from. He knows that it's heaven that what is his that's where his reward is. He knows that he's building treasures in heaven. A volunteer will be looking for praise. A volunteer will be looking for recognition. A volunteer will be looking for what? For thanks. Thanks. A volunteer will do something and in their hearts, they are waiting for someone to come and commend them and say they did a good job. That's a volunteer, right? Because you think that, and this thing I did, because you think you did it out of your own free will. Like, I just helped them. Eh? I'm sorry. When you work for a month and you get paid your wages, do you now type a special email of thanks to your company saying, I just want to appreciate you people for paying me this money this month? And then when you buy a gift, then go to the office and say, go to your finance office, go to your HR and say, I just want to thank you for this salary that you paid me. Do you do that?
No.
Why? Because you worked for it, Abby. So if your reward is in heaven with God for the service that you are doing, rendering, then why are you waiting for your department head or your pastor or your leader or whatever the case may be to come and give you some special recognition or thanks? Or they are giving announcements and they did not announce that, oh, this person decorated this church. And then the person gets angry. That's a what? That's a volunteer. That's not a servant. Amen? Another one is a servant to live for the kingdom. A volunteer is simply flirting with the kingdom. They are what? They are flirting with the kingdom. Today you see them, tomorrow you won't see them. And they didn't take permission. They were not even accountable to anybody as to why they didn't come. The next tomorrow you see them again. Ah, where have you been? Something happened. I had to blah, 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 blah. Then you see them for a while again. Then after that, you don't see them again. As a volunteer, they are flirting with the kingdom. No, they just touch and go, touch and go. They are not committed to it. And this thing helps that we're talking about. It's not for what? It's not for volunteers. It's not for volunteers. The reason why it's so important, is because the spirit of unity, is necessary for the body of Christ. The spirit of unity. Division and disunity is what the devil uses against the body of Christ. And in fact, before Jesus Christ comes back, the entire church, not just this one here, every true church of God will be truly what? United in spirit. All these divisions, all these sects, all these plenty things will have to go away. The ones that are refusing to be united will be exposed as false churches before Jesus comes back. Because you have to believe the word of God. He said, I'm coming for a church without what? Wrinkle and blemish. And the way we are now, there's plenty wrinkle, there's plenty what? Blemish. So things have to change both internally and corporately. And disunity and lack of love is the primary weapon in the hand of the devil. And disunity comes in two major forms. Disunity in vision and disunity in purpose. And then there's, you can also say, disunity in faith. But those people who are not united with us in faith are not Christians to begin with. But they are wolves within the church, right? But even for the believers, there can be disunity in vision and what? And purpose. And helps is one of God's ways of ensuring that everybody within a local assembly are pursuing the same what? The same thing. Because if you are not involved, then you don't know where your church is going. There are people in Lagos that go to church every Sunday, carry their Bible, go back home. Ask them, what's the mission of that your church? They can't tell you. Or what's the vision of that your church? They can't tell you. What are the goals of that church? What are the outreaches that your church? They are not involved. They are not what? Involved. Are they part of that church? No. God doesn't count them as part of that church. Oh. There are so many people that in the eyes of God, they are not planted. Yet, they wake up in the morning and they spend transport money. And it might be better if they were at home. Better in quotes. Not because that's the ideal, but because they are not planted. It's worse in other countries. But it's pretty bad in Nigeria. There are people that map out, you know, churches that have welcome package for newcomers. There are people that's their, it's like a side thing for them. You get, so in a year they might have entered 12. Because they know that's what, that there shall be one souvenir inside, new cup, because churches, we spend money. We'll spend money on gifts, new cup, new biro, new something. You know, the church always puts at least something about the church. They'll not read that one. It's the gifts that they want, And they'll say they went to church on Sunday. Anyone. Because remember, I started by saying it's a what? It's a calling. What? A calling is something that you cannot do anything about. Do you understand? Because you are a creature. If this microphone stops producing sound, and all of a sudden, when we put it on, it starts to shine light. Is it still a mic? What has it become? So will I now say, no, it's a mic, you know. So whether it's shining torch or not, or shining light or not, I will still use it, I will put it. No. Because it was made to what? To amplify sound. Some may say you were made to serve God. It means that you don't have choice in what? In the matter. And if you're not doing it, you are working against your nature. Because that's how God what? Made you. And that's all helps is for. Are we still together? Okay. I'll just read to you some symptoms of disunity. And I'll tell you some areas of help. And talk to you about two more things and I'll go. Symptoms of disunity. Now I told you that what the devil wants to do is he wants to disunite the church. So let me tell you some things that will be present in a place where they are not people are not committed to helps. The first thing you find is what? It's complaining. Come what? Complaining. You know, there are people that might find it very, very difficult to, it will be an adjustment period for this your church. I'm not saying they won't come or they'll come. Do you know why there'll be an adjustment period? Because these people spend at least 2 hours, 30 minutes in church on Sunday. And then, for them, this thing is 1 hour, let's, let me go. And some of them, when they experience that for the first time, they're already checking the clock, like, okay, what's the plan here? And if they have someone to talk to, they'll talk to the person and start what? Complaining. A complainer cannot be united with the vision of a place they are in. It's not possible. And we were very sure, though. If you go to Uganda, you spend the whole day in church. I'm not saying they are doing the right thing there. Like, you spend the whole day, like 3 hours, they'll just be dancing. But at least what I mean is, you spend you. If it's time that is your problem, then don't travel on mission. Don't just go. Just stay in Nigeria. There's one day that I went and I was just sitting down. They could have played about 2 football matches. You know how long a football game is? 90 minutes plus. Could have played like 2 plus. At least the second one we're about to finish. I was still sitting down. And they were what? They were dancing. One dance, another dance. Let's stand up again, dance, then special number. Some people play tape. They have this thing called overnight. I went for one, I said, I'm not going again. I just experienced it once. Because you know, overnight, you think from your Nigerian mind, that is what? It's night vigil, we're going to pray. No. It's overnight that people that have, they have recorded song in studio, Christian song, they'll come, they'll play it, they'll play, they'll dance, they'll mime, they'll do everything. After the praise, I was see. It's somehow, it's interesting. So if time is your problem, don't go to what? Don't go to Uganda. One of, they sent their crossover nights. You know, we did crossover, how many hours did you spend? 3, are we? 3 plus, okay. Crossover night of one of the pastors that is daddy's son that we met there. 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next day. 12 hours. The flyer is on my phone. And I saw the flyer. I said, this dance is probably going to go and dance. So. Amen. Amen. So yeah, complaining and murmuring is a sign of disunity. Because the truth is, if you are focused on a goal, even if something is difficult for you, you don't have time to be backbiting and talking to someone else about it. If you are united with your spiritual leaders, the people that God has placed over you, or the place that you know, okay, God has brought me to this church, is my home, and this is what this church wants to become. They've told me, or I've heard it, or we've prayed about it in church plenty times. Then you don't have time to be looking at the left and looking at the right and say, this one is not right, this one is not right. The devil uses these things to bring disunity, and those people cannot truly help. They cannot help. We also have people that skip a lot of church. Church skipping. You know, those are the ones that you can't rely on, because you cannot predict whether they are going to be in church next Sunday. They are no helpers. You can't predict. You can't beat your chest and say, no matter what, if this person is not coming, something happened. No. Every church has them. We shouldn't be so, but it's just the way it is. Right? It's a sign of disunity. So when I'm talking about disunity here, I'm talking about disunity in the heart of a person. Right? As if you find any of these things present in your life or reoccurring in your life, you cannot say that you are helping. And if you are not helping, you are going against your nature. That's what it means. Another one is people that don't mind their what? Their business. Mind your what? Business. Nobody's life is your business in church. If you are truly focused on why you are there, just focus on what you came to do. So what are the areas in which you can help? Right? The first is physical help. Physical help includes labor. What some people might call manual what? Labor. Physical help includes using your skills, right? Your skills and your talents for the good of the kingdom. The first time we went last year to Uganda. So we paid for an apartment. And so because we paid for an apartment and another thing about Uganda, don't say I'm yabbing them, it's just how they are. Is that you cannot trust, let the spiritual daughter be the most spiritual woman in this world. You cannot trust anybody to bring food at the time that they say that they will bring the food. Some might not even bring it at all. In short, 80 to 90% will not bring it at all. The reason I'm saying this is because we're in an apartment, and because we're in an apartment, and daddy has to eat. Even if me, I'm not eating, daddy has to eat. So, and we cannot rely on anybody to be doing anything. So, in the house, I became chef, cleaner, everything, sha, any work. And I remember that. So, we had to move apartments. I remember that when some of these pastors first started coming around, they knew I was daddy's son, right? And even if, so the few that daddy said, oh, Pastor Billy, it was just a throwaway comment, because daddy too will not be hyping, well, there's no hype inside this thing. And so I remember that there was this day that, as so when they come to visit, usually what will happen is I'll be in the kitchen first. Because also you don't have meetings in Uganda without food. So once they come, I know I have to go and make something, at least tea, so that they will drink tea and eat something light or bread. Or so that's my work, you get. So there was this particular day that they came, and I was in the kitchen for a while, so I was just doing all those things. And I came out, and I now served them. Then I now joined the meeting, which is usually how I do it. And I sat down. So daddy now said, waka pass, like this kind of throwaway comment, just in the middle of conversation, that he now mentioned that I was pastoring a church in Lagos. And one of them now just was shocked. He was like, oh, he pastors his own church? Then, then, daddy even didn't even like answer. Later, after, they now came to ask me. And I said, yes, there's a church in Lagos. He said, eh. Hey. That he thought that, you know, you can be a pastor, but like I'm under daddy, daddy's the one pastoring. And I said, daddy doesn't, he's not called to be a pastor. He's an apostle. That's why he's here and everything. And I said, okay. Why were they thinking like that? It's because I was cleaning house and mopping floor. Because in their mind, right, that job is too big for what? Someone that is a pastor. And that is the biggest lie on the planet. Like, the devil. The devil should not make you such a person that would think that anything is too big for you. Hmm? Nothing is too big for you. There are some people that have never swept this church. And if the organizing people, and because we've shared departments, the department is just to help your condition. It's not a strict something. As the people that, oh, they'll be waiting for, God will bless this Tokwell. Well, just leave him as he is. God is dealing with him. They'll be waiting for the person that they know that is supposed to do it, in quotes, to come. And they're in church, oh. People have not started, oh. There's a lot of repenting to do. When I was going that first time, I remember that, do you know what was in my heart? Let me tell you what was in my heart. I said, the reason why mommy has the kind of anointing she has is because she has served this man a lot. So these 2 months that we're going, I was going to tap my own. Not by laying of hands, though. By what? By polishing his shoe, by making sure his shirt is okay, by cooking for him. Because I know that, I'll talk about this one more next week, the refiner's fire of service. But let me just give you a little tip. Who took over from Moses? Joshua. Was Joshua one of the elders of Israel? No. What was he? He was just the one that served what? Moses. It is one of the greatest secrets of the Bible that you people might not understand. We'll have to talk about it next week. And when God wanted to pick who would take over, did he pick any of the ones with experience? Should be in democracy. If we say that Moses was president, the other 70 were governors, are we? And Joshua was what? Was nothing. Was just the boy. highest permanent secretary of what? Of state. And what happens when God wants to pick? You say, no, somebody that has governmental experience that has led one of the 70 should be the next president, right? Who did God choose? Joshua. So me, as we're going that time, I saw it as a great opportunity to go and what? To go and serve. Because me, I know what I'm looking for. Me, I don't want titles. Anointing I want. So when we went the second time and daddy said we're going to hotel this time, it pained me small. Because I know I won't cook as much. But we got there and I still cooked. I still did something. Because service. What you call manual physical labor. It's what? It's help. And there are some people, some things are too big for them to do. We say, okay, let's clear the outside now. Problem. Why? Because you'll be dusty and dirty. Okay, let's wash the gutter now. Problem. Why? Because it's gutter. Why will I be? Okay. Which is why I said your parents are what? They are wrong. If you grew up in a house where you had maids and you had people to do some things for you and you had some form of privilege, that is not the philosophy you should carry into life. And even if you decide to carry it into life, never carry it to the church. They are what? They are wrong. If your parents have raised you to make you feel like you are bigger than some things, they are what? They are wrong. And if you continue to adopt that mindset, they will destroy you. Write it down. They will what? Destroy you. Because that's not life. And that's not this kingdom. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. At all. We have to be simple, Very simple. Another area of help is what? It's giving. Giving your money, your materials, your resources. It's an area of help. Another area of help is intercession. Intercession. Another area of help is defense or coming to the aid of people in times of trouble. Defense or what? Or coming to the aid of people in times of trouble. This one goes beyond just giving. No. And there are scriptural backings for all this, which we'll share next week. But remember that the theme is finding your place, yes? And so, if I said these are the areas of help, I will broaden on them next week. The question is, how do you discover? The first is you can discover by instruction. When someone that has been placed over you, someone that is placed over you sees something in you that you might not have seen in yourself yet, and they say, okay, this responsibility, go and what? Go and handle it. And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, I don't know how to do it. I've not done it before. But that's not me. But that's not who? Me. I think I was talking to some people yesterday. I said, you should pray against the spirit of demonic individualism. Demonic what? Individualism. I'll explain very briefly what that is. Demonic individualism is when the devil has been able to convince you that somehow this is who you are and that thing can never change. And so when any suggestion comes to try to break that thing, you say, but that's not me. Those people that come and say, the kind of person I am, if anybody starts a statement with the kind of person I am, I just cancel every single thing they are saying in my mind. And I say two things. Is that this person has not grown? Or the devil is really racking this person. Because when you say the kind of person I am, you've closed every opportunity for the possibility of what? Of growth. Because that the kind of person I am does not come with a positive thing, usually. Usually comes with a negative statement. So the kind of person I am, I don't know how to do this. Or the kind of person I am, we don't used to do this. Or in the house that I grew up at. No. And so, if by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of God, you trust that God has put some people over you as leaders. And they come to you and say, okay, by instruction, handle this thing. Ask for the grace to do it. Eh? Because you do not know what that thing that you are doing will mean for your destiny. Are we together? People have really, really, well, they've been abusing God from time immemorial. So let me not say they have really abused God, because it won't be new. Right? I know people, until tomorrow, their confession is, thank God I served in so-so-and-so church at so-so-so time. I know someone who studied law, who is doing sound today. Speakers, selling, good shop. Why? Because when he was in university, he worked in what? In sound. Where? In church. What did he study in school? He's a lawyer. He's not doing anything with it. He went to law school, he finished. I'm just saying he dropped out. He's a lawyer. But chamber cannot make him what he's making tomorrow, today. I know another one that before he left school, he was in Uniben because we were in the Grenadian. Anytime we had a concert, he's the one that will supply lights. He was still a student. When he left, he continued. I can't remember the course he studied. One Microsoft, you know, this. They wanted to be medical students. And, you know, when you want to be a doctor, then you did not pass. Then they now ship all of you to different places, biochemistry, micro. It's one of those ones that he studied. They just shipped him somewhere. And he was in Uniben in fellowship. And from his first year, he started learning what? All these stage lights, little by little. He wasn't doing it with the mindset of one day he will start a business. He was just serving his God. And then by the time, before he finished, he started supplying people lights. And so when I say it's an opportunity and a privilege, and I'm sure the first time they told him to go and join it, he will say, hey, but I don't know anything about it. Right? Is that what we are saying? So when I say you can find your place by instruction, you have to open your heart. You have to open your mind, eh? And not think that if it is all that you are today, that you are going to be, then don't come to church. Don't come to God. The entire point of coming to God is transformation, right? And transformation happens in all areas. And you have to be open to it. And so you find your place by instruction. You find your place by observation. Sometimes you just have to see a gap and go and fill it. Right? There's a gap somewhere, you can see it. And find out how to fill it. Okay, Pastor, I saw this and that. How can we? Are we together? And you can also find your place by collaboration. Because nobody is an island. As we close service this morning, there are two things that I want to say to you. The first thing that I want to say to you is that nothing, all these prophecies you heard, this evening we're coming back to pray. We're also coming back for an anointing service because I was instructed to anoint you people, your hands particularly, with some scriptures today, this evening. Everything that Daddy has put on your head, plus the prophecies Mommy has given, plus, because Mommy, when we're not around, you anointed them, right? Plus that one, plus the ones to come, they will not come to pass without your service. All those things you have written down, they will not what? Come to pass without your service. It's not a curse, it's the Bible. And so it's something to pay attention to. This year, I said this year, my service to God will be different in all dimensions. Are you listening to me? My service to God must be different this year in all dimensions. I have to create the time. I have to give myself to it. The second thing is, there is a dimension of these helps, in which the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God comes upon you to do something very specific in an area of help. But that doesn't come until you are faithful in doing it as is. Let me give you an example. We've been told, and if you read Billy Graham's books, you will see the story of the three women who used to pray for his programs. Now, those women were given a ministry of help in the area of what? Intercession. Specifically towards who? Billy Graham's ministry. That's a specific assignment in a direction, right? That did not come to those women if they were not faithful already in what? Intercession. It is those that are faithful in little that what? Much is given. If you want the anointing to be the kind of person that wealth is not a problem for you, and you will give liberally to the church or to God's work, then you have to start giving now, faithfully. And then, when God sees your faithfulness, what does he do? He brings his anointing and gives you, okay, I'm anointing you to be a what? A minister of help in the area of finance. That might be God's plan for your life in future. But if you are still today doing mathematics with God, it won't come to pass. Eh? Those that God has, there are so many types of ministries and so many things that God wants to do with people. Those that God has a plan for, to set up things like orphanages or homes for people, Christians, that the anointing might be in their life, it will start from them exercising what? Care and service constantly in the body of Christ, faithfully. Before God looks at the person and says, okay, you have been faithful. Now I want to what? I want to bring my power on you, go and do this. It doesn't come by wishful thinking. Those heights that God wants people to operate in this, they exist in scripture. A lot of people that set up some of the most important things that have helped the kingdom of God, go and check, they are not in the fivefold ministries. Like, they are not pastors, they are not teachers, they are not evangelists. They are what? Christians. Who were faithful in their what? Service in one way or the other. And as we're faithful, God what? Dropped something. He gave them something. And so all this oil that has come upon you and will continue to come upon you is resting on your head, resting on your hands, waiting for you to what? To respond, to make a choice and a decision towards doing things differently in this season. And you have to make that decision. And if you make that decision, you're not going to regret it. 2024 will not end the way 2023 ended. It will be a lot better. It will be a lot better. You will have clarity about your life in ways that you don't know now. But it comes in the place of service. Amen? Let's rise up.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.